Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend, along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew. I am, of course, William Ramo. What's up, Mac? What's going on?
Hey, how's it going?
Not much, man. We was just enjoying the Knick game. You know, we're going to talk about that momentarily. Glad to have you on the show, as always.
Glad to be on, as usual.
Thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, equally, I'm glad to have you all hang out with us for this hour, for at least an hour here on this show, on today's show. You know, we're going to talk sports and entertainment and everything else. But in particular, we're going to talk about the Knicks surging, the rejuvenated New York Knicks. You know, they're on a 2-game winning streak. They're trying to finish strong before the All-Star break. And, yeah, we'll also talk about Julius Randle being rewarded for his amazing play, this season. We'll also talk about the Nets, who are, they're also doing their thing as well, in the East. You know, we'll talk about them. You know, they've been even way hotter. They probably the hottest team in the NBA, with an 8-game winning streak. So, we'll talk about them as well. We'll also talk about, how the Mets and the Yankees are, doing in spring training, before the games are about to start. And the Russell Wilson rumors and, basically what happened, at the Elimination Chamber and, the preview for Monday Night Show with Bobby Lashley trying to make history against The Miz, and even AEW news with The Big Show joining the brand, and possibly Zelina Vega as well, maybe. But most importantly, we would love to hear from you. If you would like to talk about any of these topics and more, let your voice be heard. And for you to do that, feel free to call in at 563-999-3529. So that's 563-999-3529. So feel free to come on the show. The floor is yours. But with that said, let's tip off and talk about the New York Knicks. And, the New York Knicks, they've been doing their thing. Derrick Rose, he had 17 points, 11 assists. The newly crowned, NBA All-Star, Julius Randle, he scored at least 20-something points. Was it 28 points? I can't even remember how much he scored. I'd have to check. I think Barrett scored 24. But, congratulations to Julius Randle. I'm so happy for him. His hard work has paid off. And he's going to be representing the Knicks as an all-star. And Obi Toppin, he's reportedly going to represent the Knicks in the slam dunk contest. So, congratulations to him. Man, what's your thoughts on the Knicks, the 17-17 New York Knicks?
Hey, man, they're playing well. This is the most exciting team that we've seen in a while. You got Randall, been playing like he's one of the best players in the league. And then he's, congrats on him making a, all-star game. He deserves it because he's been playing like someone owes him $1 million or something. he deserves it, man. He's been playing great. Without him, I don't know where we would be right now.
Mm-hmm.
We'd have him, but yeah, congrats to him again, and Obi Toppin, you know, congrats to him as well, you know, for making the you said the rookie game, right?
I think he's in the
Slam Dunk
contest.
Oh, he's in Slam Dunk.
Okay,
well,
yeah, I'm on the research. I'm pretty sure. I thought that's what they said. He made it to the Slam Dunk contest. But
oh, that's great.
I'm gonna just double check.
If that's the case, you know, hopefully he becomes you know, we've had a lot of Knicks win the Slam Dunk contest over the years, so hopefully he becomes the latest Knick to win. You know, we've had Nate Robinson, we've had Kenny Skywalker, we had
Nate Robinson.
Yeah, I mentioned Nate Robinson. Yeah, there was a Dennis Smith almost won it 1 year, I think. Dennis Smith Jr.
Prior to coming here.
No, he was in. Remember, he competed as a Knick. 1 year.
All right.
A couple years ago, he competed as a Knick. But he didn't win it. I forget who he lost to. But, yeah, hopefully Toppin can win it. I'm looking forward to seeing
it. Was it against Zach LaVine, maybe? I don't remember.
No, I don't think it was Zach LaVine. I think it was the year after. I'm trying to think what was it. I'm gonna have to look that up to find out. But Toppin and Quickly, they should definitely be in that rookie game, right?
Mm-hmm. They should be.
Yeah. Yeah, congrats to all the Knicks, man. They're playing well. They gotta keep it up. They had a great win tonight against the Pacers.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, man, they definitely gotta keep it up for sure, man. Definitely finish strong before this you know, All-Star game.
Well, I think it was might have been Amadou Diallo.
Yeah, I think you're right. But yeah, do you think the Knicks should do any moves, like to get Bradley Beal or Zach LaVine or Oladipo or anybody like that, or even Lonzo Ball?
You know what? I'm scared to mess up the chemistry of this team right now. You know, I think if we trade, we might just disrupt everything that we know. Just from how we've been playing, you know, up to this point. But I think they should go after a big man. You know, DeMarcus Cousins is out there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you should give him a look, you know. You never know.
Or even Drummond.
Well, Drummond, you'd have to trade for him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, again, I'm scared of trading for people right now to disrupt. Because for Drummond, you'd have to give up.
You'd have to give up
an important piece. Yeah.
You'd have to give up the keys to MSG.
Yeah, right now I don't want to do that, you know. So if we can get DeMarcus Cousins, you know, that could help us with Mitchell Robinson out. And then when Robinson comes back, you could have DeMarcus Cousins come off the bench, give us that big body.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I think Knicks should learn their lesson, you know, making big trades in the before the training deadline and ruin the chemistry. You know, they did it with when they got Carmelo Anthony. Had they waited for the offseason, they could have just signed them and kept all those players like Gallinari and what was it, Shumpert, and all these other people they had on the team. I can't even remember that they broke up the team for. And then there was that one year we had with the Knicks when they had Marbury, Keith Van Horn. He was doing good, and then they traded him away, and then that just killed whatever momentum that team had, and they just, you know, the floor just fell out from that team.
So
I agree with you. The Knicks shouldn't be trading away anybody. Everybody is, for the most part, is, you know, firing on all cylinders, you know. Derrick Rose probably had his best game as a Knick, you know, today and what was it, a few days ago. Didn't he score like 24 points or so? The other day?
I think so.
But yeah, you know, Barrett is starting to score again. Randall has been Randall the whole year. He's been too tough to handle, you know, this whole year. Just need Mitchell Robinson to come back healthy. But yeah, if they got DeMarcus Cousins, I don't think they would bench him, because he's a star in the league, so I don't think they would bench him, even for Mitchell Robinson, who's I think he's one of the future stars of the NBA, so yeah, I definitely agree with you that they shouldn't destroy the chemistry right now. Everybody's playing well. Even Peyton was playing well before he got hurt.
Yeah.
I don't still trust him, but he was playing well. Milikina, he had a good game a few days ago, off the bench. Even Taj Gibson, he played tough a few days ago too, made some key stops in a game they won recently. So the Knicks are playing. I mean, you gotta credit the players, you gotta credit the coaching staff, and Tom Thibodeau and Leon Rose. Everybody's buying into the system. Yeah, they're playing hard. They're playing defense. Their offense could be streaky at times, but they're playing defense. And if you play defense, you're always in the game.
Yeah.
So I'm dare I say, I'm proud of the Knicks, how they're playing, even though, they are a 500 team. I mean, yes, the bar has been set low in the past 20 years. Back in the days, this team, if it was the 90s Knicks team and they were playing 500, they'd be like, man, what's wrong with this Knicks team? But hey, we've been in the wilderness for 20 years, man. And hopefully, not like the Israelites in the Old Testament, hopefully we won't have another 20 years of being in the wilderness before we get to the promised land. So, I mean, hey, when you think about it, the Knicks haven't won since 73. So we're 48 years, 48 years of, not having championship ball, So now let's see what the Knicks do, in the offseason.
Yeah, and they're playing real well right now. Can't ask for anything better, so.
Go New York, go New York, go. And another thing is, I don't know if we mentioned it last week. We might have, I'm not sure. But now we finally got fans. We finally got fans in the stadium. We got roughly about 2,000 people in the stands. And, the fans are showing the love for this team. They're chanting MVP for Randall, for RJ Barrett. They might even chant it for Derrick Rose, maybe. I mean, it's good to see fans in stadiums now, especially in New York. It was almost a year that the fans haven't been in the stadium. So
I was actually thinking of going to a Knick game. I was thinking, hey, tickets might not be at the lowest they've ever been. Might as well try to go. But then I remembered, before you go, get a temperature check. Well, you gotta show that you've taken a recent COVID test.
Mm-hmm.
And you gotta go through a temperature check when you're over there. So I don't want to go through all of that just to get into the garden. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, from what I heard they're jacking up the prices. Both in Brooklyn and New York.
Really?
Because they know we're starving. We're starving to see them play face to face, because we had it taken away from us, for almost a year. So, people are really longing to see sports live again,
I might still end up going, one of these next several weeks. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Hopefully Knicks can keep up the momentum. Knicks can keep up the momentum of what they've been doing. These past couple of days. Yeah, for sure. Let me see one more thing before I go. Let me see who are they gonna.
play next?
Yeah, that's what I was going to see. Who are they going to play next?
It looks like next game is tomorrow against the Pistons.
That's good. Okay.
So, you know, right now in the standings, they're looking good. They're sitting at fifth place. Right behind the Raptors. So the Knicks, you know, they could go up, you know, as far up as the fourth seed if they continue to play well.
And, yeah, another thing is, you know, the Knicks, you know, they, you know, just to recap, the Knicks won by the final score of 110 to 107, you know, against the Pacers. And, yeah, hopefully they can, they could keep this momentum going.
Yeah.
You know, tomorrow against the Pistons.
Three-pointer. Oh, no, three-point goal. Love when the announcer says that.
Yep, me too. Yeah, it looks like, if I'm not mistaken, it looks like the Nets lose, winning streak is snapped.
Yeah.
Against the Mavericks. So, yeah, you know, shifting gears to the Nets, yeah, the Nets, you know, whatchamacallit, what was I going to say? They played without Durant because he, you know, he's resting, you know, for the rest of the from now until, you know, after the All-Star break, because, you know, something, you know, his hamstring is bugging him. So, you know, they played without him. I believe Irving didn't play also, because I think he's dealing with a right shoulder injury. So he apparently he didn't play as well. And but Harden, I think Harden had like Harden I think Harden had 29 points. Let me see. Harden had 29 points, but unfortunately for the Nets, the surging Nets, up until tonight, he only had 4 points, you know, after halftime. You know, as a result, the Nets' winning streak got snapped Saturday night by the final score of 115-98. And, you know, Luka Doncic, he had 27 points, and the former Knick, Porzingis, he had 18 points, against Brooklyn. And, you know, the Nets, you know, winning streak just got snapped. But, you know, props to the Nets, you know, they've been playing really, really well, you know, this year. And especially as evident of this, you know, 8-game winning streak. And, you know, Porzingis prior to tonight, he didn't play the last three games, you know, because he had a lower back, you know, he had tightness in his lower back, but, you know, he turned back the clock and scored 18 points, you know, in his return to New York, but not in MSG, but at the Barclays Center. So
I've been hearing some, you know, there's been some trade rumors surrounding Porzingis. He hasn't been able to stay healthy throughout his career.
Absolutely.
And, you know, Mavericks are looking to move him somewhere.
Yeah.
So
Now the Knicks trade isn't looking so lopsided as it was.
Yeah.
You know, prior to this year. Yeah, man.
That's the only thing about Porzingis. You know, he's a talented guy.
Mm-hmm.
A talented player, you know, can be great, but he just can't stay on the court. Very fragile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Porzingis really needs a come to Jesus moment so he could, like, reassess his career and try to stay healthy.
Yeah.
A guy like that, man, he should be healthy. He should be dominating this league. You know, there's not that many.
I don't know about dominating the league, but yeah, you know, be one of the best players. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he has the talent. Think about it. If he could stay healthy and he actually unlocked his talent, you know, this dude could have, you know, could be the third coming of Dirk Nowitzki. You know, I mean, he got Luka Doncic right with him. You know, playing with him the sky's the limit for this guy. But he can never live up to the hype because he can never stay healthy.
I used to think, me and my friend, we had an argument, several years ago, who's better, Porzingis and Djokovic. And, at the time, Porzingis was with the Knicks. And I was like, mm-hmm. Of course, Porzingis is better. Look at his numbers. Mm-hmm. But now, Djokovic is, come on. By far the better player than Porzingis.
Yeah, it's a joke to even make the comparison now, if you make that. So, yeah.
Not even close.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, man. He really needs to... He really needs to stay healthy on the court for sure.
Yeah, for real.
Thing gears, man. What was I gonna say? Let's go to baseball. What's your thoughts on the Yankees in spring training?
I haven't really been paying attention. Did they started playing already?
No, they're gonna start. They're gonna start this week, I believe.
Oh, okay. I was about to say. But even with the spring training, I really don't focus much on the games. I know. They try to get like some of the guys, down in the minors to play and get a good look at them. But I guess everyone. I want everyone to stay healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Not getting injured before the season starts. That's all I ask for. But I do want to get a better look at some of the guys like Mike Tauchman. I want to see more of him because I think he has the potential to be a good player off the bench for the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Ford is another guy, Maybe get more at-bats for Clint Frazier. Because he's going to be our starting outfielder, this year over Gardner. So I want to see him perform well during spring training and, earn his spot in the lineup. I think this guy has the potential to be a very good player in this league.
Mm-hmm. Who do you think is out of the three players for the Yankees? Who do you think is going to have a better year, Gleyber Torres this year, Jay Bruce, or Kluber?
Well, I hope it's Kluber, because if he can give us, that ace, that Cy Young pitching that, he gave Cleveland years ago, then we could be in good shape. So I hope Kluber, is the best out of those three.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'd be Torres and then Bruce. But Bruce, Bruce is probably going to be in the minors for the whole year.
It's possible, yeah.
We'll see. But, you never know. Because we've seen with the Yankees over the years, these guys just come up, fill, replace guys who get injured. And Bruce, you might see him in the lineup, a lot this year, possibly.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, now that I think about it, Jay Bruce almost got traded to the Yankees from the Mets.
I remember that.
Yeah, that was like a few years ago. And then instead we traded him to Cleveland, I believe.
Yeah.
That might have been the rumor. That could have also been the rumored Noah Syndergaard trade too, if I'm not mistaken, to the Yankees. Supposedly that trade was close to going down, but I guess maybe the Mets had cold feet at the last moment or so.
Wow.
But, hey, now Jay Bruce is back. And do you know why he said he chose to come to the Yankees, after spending 2 years with the Phillies?
You want to be back in New York?
That's a good...
You wanted to win the championship?
You got it. He said, I think my role is someone who has the ability to play both corners of the outfield, play first base, DH when needed, and provide the left-handed power that the Yankees have been looking for, I guess. For me, the reason I chose the Yankees is because I want to win a World Series.
Yeah, so, you know, it's a great shot at it. So, we'll see.
Yeah. And he also said he's happy to finally be on this side of the line. And he's receiving a lot of good he's been on the receiving end of a lot of good Yankee teams over the years. I'm happy to be on this side. So now,
a shout out to Mets.
In other words, yep. So in other words, he's saying if you can't beat them, join them. So, and I guess, you know, Corey Kluber would be thinking the same thing too. You know.
Yeah.
Happy
to have these guys. As long as they can contribute, I'm good.
Yeah, if Jay Bruce can stay healthy and bounce back, you know, that'd be a great pickup for the Yankees.
Yeah.
You know? His only problem is he can't stay healthy and he just strikes out way too much. But if you could get the power production from him, I mean, he'd be a typical Yankee player. So,
yeah.
You know, we'll see what happens with that. But I agree with you. Corey Kluber is the most important, new Yankee, you know, other than Bruce. Because if you have him, man, you'll have a legit former two-time Cy Young Award winner bounce back and, you know, be that guy right behind Cole. So
yeah, that's right.
I agree with you. Cole got to be the X factor for the Yankees. And that's
hopefully that is the case.
And then if you get whatever you get out of Jay Bruce, you know, that's gravy. And if he bounced back, you know what I'm saying? So if he turns into another Urshela or Voit for this team, you know, the Yankees are really going to be cooking with something.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see how that turns out. Shifting gears to my team, you know, the New York Mets, Jay Bruce, one of Jay Bruce's millions and millions of teams that he's played for, the New York Mets. Hope springs eternal for the New York Mets as well. Carlos Carrasco finally showed up with the team. He's feeling positive about the team and, especially him, you know, being in New York and he's playing alongside, Lindor, since they both got traded in that blockbuster trade, you know, he feels very optimistic, you know, being part of this team because, you know, he's in, you know, arguably one of the best rotations, if not the best rotation in baseball. And plus, he's with a lineup that has, you know, a lot of potential, you know, to do some damage this regular season. So, and then not to mention, you have Francisco Lindor, who's basically like a unofficial coach on the team. You know, he's helping out his teammates, you know, with positioning. He also said, like, this good point about, like, analytics is good, but analytics should not override like instincts. Cause I think baseball is getting a little too analytics happy, you know, which I definitely agree with him, you know, that sometimes you got to have the eye test, you know, like he made a good point. Like basically, you know, if you have a good player and he's batting 0-for-10, you know, let's say, for example, it's Lindor. He's 0-for-10, but you have somebody on the bench who's 2-for-2 against that guy. You know, the smarter move is to keep the veteran guy, because even though he's 0-for-10, as a elite athlete like that, you're gonna have that fire. You know what I mean? So it's all it depends on, like, you know, like your instinct, what your gut is telling you, instead of this, you know, the stats all the time. You know, stats should be there to help you, you know, form an idea and be like, okay, this most chances is this would work out. I'll try this way. But then you're like, this guy has been really hot at the plate. You know, maybe I should keep this guy. You know, it's like people are getting too analytical. And you could see it with the World Series. The Rays taking out Blake Snell, their ace. You know what I'm saying? They didn't give up a run. They were up 1-0 in the, what was it, in the sixth? Or I think in the seventh, right? And they took him out. Like if you're not going to leave Blake Snell in the game, you know, who would you not take? Who wouldn't you take out in this spot? And that's what cost them the World Series. And I think somebody else said that too. You know, like it might have been even Blake Snell himself who said that they basically gave up the World Series by taking him out of the game. Like it that move made no sense. I know the Rays love to use openers and you know rely on their strong bullpen, but you know sometimes you gotta go with your instincts and not just with stats, you know. What's your thoughts, Mike?
Well, you know, analytics it runs the game. This, you know, these days that's what pretty much determines the outcome of most of these games, and for the most part, it has worked. You know, more and more teams are using it, you know, to determine, you know, pitcher goes against a batter, what batter goes against a certain pitcher, you know, what side of the plate you should be hitting from, what defenses, what shifts to you know, on defense, you know, it predicts the outcome of the game most of the time, and it's been very successful for a lot of teams, you know, Astros, Red Sox. They use it, and they won championships, you know, in the last several years because of it. The Yankees have used analytics. They use analytics, and, you know, they've been successful, although they haven't won a title out of it. But, you know, for the most part, analytics has proven to be, you know, very successful, and it's part of the game now. You know, and sometimes, you know, it can lead to bad decisions, you know, but other times, for the most part, it leads to very good decisions. So, you know, it's just part of the game. You know, it's a, you know, 21st century, you know, that's the technology, you know, has taken over baseball, and, you know, people just got to get used to it. You know, it's not your traditional baseball where you're, you know, writing strategy on a piece of paper. Now you got a computer doing it for you. So, you know, people just got to get adjusted to it.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, yeah. I mean, obviously, like, I mean, analytics is important. You gotta, you know, it's a sign of the times. You know, the Mets, you know, they've been behind in analytics, you know, under the Wilpon era, and unfortunately, you know, that's cost them title opportunities. You know, most recently in 2015. You know, so, you know, hopefully. The Mets, you know, they've made some moves, you know, in that right direction to improve their analytics. But hopefully, you know, they've made the right moves in order to snap this, you know, nearly 40-year championship drought. But, you know, I do like the potential of the teams. I mean, there were some moves here and there I wish they would have made, like the Springer signing. I mean, that is, you know, they should have made that move. They should have gotten Brad Hand. You know, I thought those were the two moves they definitely should have made. Obviously, you know, they made a strong push for Bauer, but of course we all know he was using the Mets to get a bigger deal so he could go back home in California. And, you know, he got the perfect deal from the perfect team, the defending world champion LA Dodgers. So that move, on paper, that move definitely on paper worked out for him. So we'll see what he does with the Dodgers. But we'll see what happens. Moving on to wrestling. Yeah, before I go to WWE and the Elimination Chamber, let me talk about the Big Show. What's your thoughts on him leaving the WWE after being with the company since 99 and going to AEW?
You know, I was very surprised. You know, he's been with the company for 22 years, and now he just jumped ship to AEW. Very surprising. You know, I don't know what happened between him and WWE to lead him to that decision, but, you know, it is what it is. It's part of the business. So, you know, I hope he has much success in AEW, and hopefully they use him right. I hear that he's going to be not only a wrestler, but a commentator on AEW Dark. So that will be interesting. See who he commentates and co-hosts that show with. But, you know, now hopefully we can have a Shaq versus Big Show match. Because Shaq, you know, he's supposed to make some appearances in AEW. So you might have, you know, those two finally get to wrestle now. So, mm-hmm. You know, some positive came out of this Big Show signing with AEW.
Yeah. Absolutely. Because, Shaq and Cody, they're supposed to fight in a tag team match this upcoming Wednesday night. It's going to be Shaq and Jay Cargill versus Cody Rhodes and Red Velvet. You know, AEW Dynamite. So that should be a very interesting matchup. And then, like you said, it might lead to maybe them teasing Big Show versus Shaq, you know, at the end. Who do you think will win that?
Maybe Shaq. You know, I gotta go with Shaq on that one.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you. I mean, obviously Cody Rhodes is the athlete. You know, he's a second generational wrestler. You know, obviously son of the late great American Dream. You know, Dusty Rhodes, and you know, he got wrestling in his blood. Obviously, his brother Goldust, you know, is in the business as well. So, yeah, the advantage should be Cody Rhodes. But, you know, Shaq got the height, the weight advantage. You know, he's an athlete as well. So, you know, the decision might not even come down to them. It could even be Jay Cargill pinning Red Velvet, you know. The reason why Red Velvet's in the match is because Brandi Rhodes, she's pregnant, and prior to that, Jay Cargill broke Brandi Rhodes' arm like maybe a month or two ago. But yeah, even if her arm got injured, she most likely would have fought in the match instead of Red Velvet if she wasn't really pregnant, you know. So, yeah, I think Shaq will get the upset. Shaq and Jay Cargill will get the upset. I mean, they need it more, to be honest with you, because Jay Cargill, you know, she's new on the show. She's been, you know, making noise these past couple of months with this whole storyline. So. Yeah, we'll definitely see what happens with that. Let me see what else. Yeah, I guess I'll move on to WWE. Wait, is this the same? Now that I think about it. FTR, you know, the group that was formerly known as the Revival with WWE?
Uh-huh.
I think they're going to team up with Tully Blanchard. I don't know if it's at this upcoming Wednesday or the pay-per-view they're going to have. I think on next Saturday they're going to have a pay-per-view.
What's the pay-per-view called?
I think it's called Resolution. Let me see. When is this supposed to go? When is this supposed to go down? Because yeah, Tully Blanchard is going to come out of retirement. Supposedly he hasn't wrestled since 1989, apparently. But wasn't he wrestling WWE afterwards?
Wow, that dude is old school, because that dude's been in WWE /, well, also known as WWF, you know, back in the day, WCW. Yeah, that dude goes way back.
Yeah, he hasn't, supposedly hasn't wrestled since he was teaming up with Cody Rhodes' coach and, you know, his former Four Horsemen brother, Arn Anderson, when they were, you know, members of the Brainbusters in WWE. Apparently they last tag team together November 5th, 1989, when they lost to Demolition.
Wow, has it been that long?
Supposedly so.
Wasn't he WCW also? I could have sworn he was in WCW.
He was in WCW before he went to WWE.
Oh, okay.
With the Four Horsemen, because the Four Horsemen was there like, what was it?
Right. Yeah.
Okay, so apparently he did fight in a match August 10th, 2007 against Dusty Rhodes in an NWA Legends Fan Fest. I don't know if this is a legit, you know what I mean, like a live show or a real, I mean, it seems like it's a real event, like with former NWA legends, you know, fighting out and, you know, fighting each other and, you know, reminiscing of the good old days. But yeah, this is, that's epic. You know, you got a legend, you know, coming out of retirement. This guy hasn't fought in what, 32 years, apparently. Other than this match he had with Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah, 3 decades, wow.
So, yeah, let me see, when is this match happening again? It's either this Wednesday or the upcoming pay-per-view event this next weekend. I think the weekend is the 7th. Let me see. Let me look just to make sure. It looks like it might happen Wednesday night, but I'm not 100% sure. Let me see. That's what I'm seeing. Yeah, it looks like it's this Wednesday also. When Cody Rhodes fights Shaq, Tully Blanchard is coming out of retirement for one night only.
Wow.
To team up with the group he's been managing since the former Revival jump ship and went to AEW, SFTR. So
that's gonna be something.
Yeah, for sure.
Legend coming back to wrestle after so many years.
Mhm. Absolutely. And then moving gears, NXT. Adam Cole. He essentially broke up his group, Undisputed Era. Last week he super kicked Kyle O'Reilly, and this past Wednesday he super kicked Roderick Strong and beat him up. So basically Undisputed Era is over, or he's done as the leader. So yeah, that's an end of an era. No pun intended. You know, they dominated NXT for like 3 or 4 years. You know, they were definitely the class of NXT. You know, that group, that faction.
Wow.
So Adam Cole is going on his own. Maybe he'll I assume he would go to WWE, you know, at the Raw or SmackDown after WrestleMania. Because, I mean, he's wrestled everybody there is to wrestle. He's won practically every title over there. So, except for the North American title, I don't think. Wait, no, I think he's won it before. Can't remember. But in any case, he's been the world champion for a while. Like, yeah, he held the title for, like, I think a year or so. Until Keith Lee defeated him for the title last year. So, yeah, I don't think there's anything else left for him to do, for him to feud. Unless if he's going to just continue to feud with Finn Balor down in NXT. But I assume he's going to make a call up very soon, you know. Maybe after WrestleMania, maybe there's going to be another draft around that time, and he'll get called up to Raw or SmackDown. Yeah, I would assume probably most likely Raw. I could see him more on Raw than SmackDown. But
well, that's good here, because WWE, they need as much talent right now.
Mm-hmm.
So it frustrates us, you know.
Exactly. Because, yeah, they've been, yeah, they, basically, yeah, I guess we'll shift gears to the main roster now. Yeah, because they basically Elimination Chamber, you had heels feuding with each other. You had, you know, you're gonna this Monday night you're gonna have the Miz, who's a heel, face off with Bobby Lashley as a heel. But before we get to that match, yeah, let's give a quick recap of the Elimination Chamber. Yeah, what's your thoughts on it?
On this past pay-per-view?
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was okay. I thought it was not bad. You know, I thought the match of the night was, again, the women's matches. The women's matches were way better than the men's matches. I don't know why the men's matches haven't lived up to expectations, you know, these past pay-per-views. But I don't know, I was more into the women's events more than the men's. Wouldn't you say that for the last,
mm-hmm.
for the past pay-per-views? I mean, to me, the men's matches haven't been that exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, here's what happened. John Morrison defeats Elias Mustafa Ali Cachet to get the number one contendership match. And actually, they joined Matt Riddle and Bobby Lashley in the triple threat match for the United States Championship. And of course, you know, basically, I'm trying to think, remember what happened. I think Riddle hit Bobby Lashley with the candlestick from behind, and you know, basically Bobby Lashley had to get out of the ring to, you know, tend to his wounds. And that, while he's doing that, you know, Riddle got the pinfall to end Bobby Lashley's, you know, title reign,
right.
Which, you know, I saw that coming because, you know, I felt like Bobby Lashley and Keith Lee should have been fighting instead of having Riddle put into it. But like I was saying last week, you know, I think Riddle's going to win the title because he's been feuding with him forever. And, you know, he just, I don't know, it just seemed like a square peg in a round hole in that match. And something happened to Keith Lee. I don't even remember what happened, why he got taken out that event. Let me see what else happened. Yeah, I think the Elimination Chamber, the SmackDown one was good.
Yeah, that was good.
It was better than the Raw one.
Oh yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, they had Daniel Bryan defeat Cesaro, Jey Uso, Kevin Owens, King Corbin, and Sami Zayn. And after Daniel Bryan defeated him, then you know, he had the match with Roman Reigns, and you know.
That was a letdown, man.
Yeah, that was a letdown match. Roman Reigns won the match.
In 1 minute. 1 minute 32 seconds. Yeah.
Mhm.
That was a waste of match, man. Waste of time.
Exactly. Yep. And then you had Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler versus Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks.
I really liked that match. I thought it was
a very good match. Yeah, you could even see from the intro that Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks, they have that chemistry. Whether they're fighting against each other or in that case, at the pay-per-view event as tag teams, like they definitely have chemistry. Like those two could be like Rock and Mankind. Like they're great adversaries, but also they could also be great tag team partners.
And that weave that Bianca has, man, I've never seen a black woman with that long of a weave. Man, I've seen a lot of weaves in my heyday, but that's a long weave.
And you know, I don't know if you know that, but she uses her weave as a whip.
Yeah, I see that.
So you better not make her hear that, or she don't want to use it on you.
She uses it like as a rope. You know?
Or she might use it on Reggie. Well, she has used it on Reggie now, I think about it. And it interferes in the matches. But, this match was good, for sure.
Yeah.
I would say that match, this match and the SmackDown matches was the best two matches of the night. Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler, they won, which, you know, we expected that to happen. We just thought maybe one of them would turn. I thought Sasha would turn on her. You thought Bianca Belair would turn on her. But that didn't happen. Or that didn't happen yet anyway. So.
Right.
Then we get to the wah, wah, wah part of the night. You got Drew McIntyre. He defeats AJ Styles. He defeats Jeff Hardy, Kofi Kingston, Randy Orton, and Sheamus. Now, we all knew Drew McIntyre was going to win. That was a given. Unless if they would shock us and have Sheamus win, you know. But, yeah, Drew McIntyre won. Oh, one more thing I forgot to mention. After Roman Reigns won the match against Daniel Bryan, Edge speared Roman Reigns to solidify that he is in fact going to face Roman Reigns at the Royal Rumble. I mean, at the Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, I mean. They're going back in time. Yeah, so we're going to have the Battle of the Spears. Just like last year, Roman Reigns, if he didn't leave, you know, he didn't leave due to COVID, he was going to face off against Goldberg. And, of course, you know, Goldberg lost to Braun Strowman for Braun Strowman's first ever title match. And, we're going to get to that. We're going to get to Braun Strowman afterwards as well in a few minutes. So, yes, then the shocking moment of the night. This is what redeemed Bobby Lashley losing his United States title. Bobby Lashley, you know, because I was like, man, I knew Drew McIntyre was going to win, man. But, you know, I'm kind of done with Drew McIntyre. Unless he's facing Bobby Lashley and you know, he loses to Bobby Lashley. Drew McIntyre proved himself already. You know, he fought everybody. You know, he lost to Orton, but he defeated him. He's faced everybody. He defeated Brock Lesnar in five minutes at WrestleMania. Like, Drew McIntyre proved himself as a main event guy. He's gonna have more opportunities. We know this. You know, he's gonna be a 3-time world champion. You can mark that down. So you know, he got attacked by Bobby Lashley. Bobby Lashley like put the Hurt Business on him. Shoot, he left his business. You know, he left his business card on him. That's how much he put the Hurt on him. He went to work on him, like. Like, oh my goodness, yo. And then afterwards, The Miz came and, you know, of course, The Miz, you know, the Jericho / Edge copycat, you know, the Control and V cookie cutter copycat, trying to be the ultimate opportunist for the second time. And yeah, he defeated Drew McIntyre. So
yeah.
Congratulations to him, you know, being a second time world champion. We didn't see that coming, you know. But the problem is like Drew McIntyre, he defeated Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, defeated the Big Show, the aforementioned Big Show, the same night, even though they revealed it to us the following night, the night after WrestleMania, that there was a surprise title match, you know, last year. He defeated everybody there is in the business to defeat. For him to be defeated by The Miz, I don't know, it kind of suspends the disbelief a little bit. Yes, Bobby Lashley put a hurting on him. That's a fact. Even put the full Nelson on him, you know. But I don't know, The Miz losing to him, I don't know, it suspends belief, man. So The Miz is the new champion. And yeah, it was a whack ending. The only way WWE can redeem themselves. Let me repeat this again. Because the clock, Cinderella is about to leave the ball. It's 12 a.m. as we're talking about. It's a new day. Yes, it is. It's Sunday right now. So let me reiterate this. The only way WWE can redeem itself from that miserable ending at the Elimination Chamber is by having Bobby Lashley has to destroy this guy. He has to make that demolition that he did. It has to be better, man. It has to be better than that, the hurting he did on Drew McIntyre at Elimination Chamber. Miz has to plead for mercy from the almighty Bobby Lashley this Monday night for them to validate them putting the title on The Miz as a transitional champion. Bobby Lashley has to walk out for the Elimination Chamber to be redeemed by this horrible ending. Bobby Lashley has to win this match. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. They cannot have Drew McIntyre interfere in the match and cause a DQ and have Miz retain the title, which that's going to happen. You could mark it down. You could play this clip next week, and I'm going to say, I told you so. This is what WWE is going to do. But there has to be a definitive winner. Bobby Lashley has to destroy The Miz.
Well,
it can't be by the skin of your teeth. It has to be total domination by Bobby Lashley so he can finally win his first ever title. This is the hottest Bobby Lashley has ever been since he was like the ECW title. When he's been always been compared, always been in the shadow of Brock Lesnar, where people consider him as Black Lesnar. You know what I mean? This is his moment to finally win the elusive of elusive titles, the WWE title. And if you don't believe me, ask Drew McIntyre, because it was until last year's WrestleMania where he finally won the title after like a 10-year hiatus. And, you know, after he was handpicked by Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon on live TV called Drew McIntyre the chosen one. And it took him all this year, last year, to finally win it. So Bobby Lashley has to win this title.
Well,
this is the moment. Like Kofi Mania a couple of years ago, this has to be Lashley's moment right here. So yeah, what you gotta say about that?
No, yeah, that looks like what they're building it up. You know, they're building it up to be, it's going to be Lashley winning the title, and then eventually it'll be Lashley going against McIntyre at WrestleMania, potentially. So that's hopefully, if it follows the script, that's what's going to happen. And, you know, we'll see, you know, if that does happen, hopefully Lashley can retain the title at WrestleMania and not lose it at WrestleMania.
Yeah, because Bobby Lashley, he needs a strong title reign. This is his first title reign. He got to lose the title at the very minimum SummerSlam. You cannot have two transitional champions in the same year. You know what I'm saying? Drew McIntyre lost to The Miz. You know, wasn't believable. But if the only way Miz could be more believable this short title reign could be meaningful is if Bobby Lashley defeats him and wins his first ever title. And then that leads to Bobby Lashley facing McIntyre at WrestleMania, and Bobby Lashley has to retain it. I know WWE is itching to put the title back on Drew McIntyre to prove, hey, you know, he's a tough guy. You know, he faced all this adversity and he got the title back. But it's not gonna work, man. They're just gonna shove it down people's throats. They have to let it slowly build, just like how they did with Bobby Lashley. You know, just a few years ago, you know, he was talking about how much he loved his sisters, and then he got married with Lana last year, and he was his career was hitting rock bottom. You know, like they were misusing him. But MVP, man, MVP, you know, he just rejuvenated his career, and Bobby Lashley, you know, he became that monster that all the fans have envisioned him to be, and what WWE envisioned him to be. From, like, what, 2005, you know? This is the moment right here. This is how they're gonna redeem WrestleMania. Bobby Lashley has to beat Miz. After he wins, Drew McIntyre is gonna hit him with a claymore to rain on his parade as the champion. This will then, of course, Drew McIntyre is gonna have his music playing. Point to the WrestleMania sign, and then, you know, then this is going to start to reignite the feud. You know, Drew McIntyre is going to be, Bobby Lashley is going to be in the ring wanting to fight, you know, Drew McIntyre, and, you know, basically saying like he ruined his first title moment, and then Drew McIntyre is going to remind him that he, you know, he cost him the title, and that, you know, you know, there's going to be payback at WrestleMania. So then, there, of course, there's going to be the build-up to it, you know. And then, of course, you have this with knowing WWE, they're going to make Drew win the title back at WrestleMania. But the better thing to do is to have Bobby Lashley and Drew McIntyre go all out in that battle, have like a 30-minute match at the minimum. Have Bobby Lashley defeat him, hoist the title, then Brock Lesnar come out of nowhere and attacks him and sets up the feud there. Or what they could do is Brock Lesnar attack him on Monday night if he wins the title and then set up the title match, which would be, to me, this would be even better. Have Brock Lesnar attack Bobby Lashley after the potential title win and set up the WrestleMania matchup, a WrestleMania dream match between him and Brock Lesnar.
That'd be great.
That would be the better option.
That would be, you know, years in the making.
Mm-hmm. That's how Raw should end. If Raw ends that way, you're going to have an epic episode this year.
Yeah.
People will be looking back in history to see this moment. So they have to go with plan B. Cause you know, WWE, they want to put the title back on on Drew McIntyre. You know, WWE wants to do that, but they got to let them have the slow build. They have to have Brock Lesnar fight against Bobby Lashley. And then Bobby Lashley defeats him, because if Brock Lesnar wins again, Brock Lesnar doesn't win this, doesn't need this victory. So this has to be part of Brock Lesnar's build to the championship, and then have Drew defeat Brock Lesnar at Survivor Series. And then potentially have a Brock Lesnar, Bobby Lashley match at WrestleMania. Potentially, depending how well the match goes. So that's how I would do it if I was, you know, Vince McMahon.
Yeah,
but,
I agree. That's the way to, you know, that's the route to go. Hopefully that does happen, but we'll see. You know, we can't trust, you know, these WWE writers these days.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah, man, they haven't even used Bo Dallas. and apparently he's, you know, he's there. He's just he's been sitting in his home, waiting for them to have for creative to come up with something with him. And that's probably what led to Big Show leaving too. Like, Big Show's last appearance in WWE was January 4th, the Legend Night. And then after a little over a month, almost 2 years ago, almost two months later, literally last month ago, Big Show was in WWE. There's usually like a 60 or 90 day non-compete clause or something. But apparently that wasn't the case for him. So,
yeah.
You know, so WWE, they got to get their act together.
Yeah, they better. Because I need that damn Lashley and Lesnar match.
For real. They
been,
have to
15 years in the making.
Mm-hmm. It has to go down this Monday night. They have to have Lashley win and then have Brock Lesnar attack him. You know, it has to go down that way. I think it's going to be Drew, but it has to be Lesnar to do this. Like, that would be the road to WrestleMania that would be the epic road to WrestleMania. So we'll see what happened with that. Yeah, another thing, that it was a drop ball by WWE. Like, they were really you know, building up Cesaro. Like, Cesaro should have won that Elimination Chamber. You know?
And yeah, what was the point of that?
What you said?
Yeah, what was the point of that whole promo that, you know, he had?
Yeah.
And then him not winning it.
Exactly. Even Daniel Bryan was basically saying that that Cesaro should have a shot instead of him. Like,
yeah.
What more do they want? Like, who in real life or even in storyline would say they would want somebody, like, dude was almost breaking character because
mm-hmm.
he was keeping it real. He was, you know, saying like he was friends with Cesaro for over a decade, and that, you know, Daniel Bryan has had a lot of opportunities, you know, to you know, speak his mind and to compete in title matches where Cesaro, he can kind of win him the opportunities that Cesaro had. Like, that was money right there. Like, man, that the Elimination Chamber would have been off the charts if they would have kept it a title match inside the Elimination Chamber or had Cesaro win the Elimination Chamber and the title. Come on, man, that would have been a moment too.
Yeah, it would have been better than it
that,
actually was.
Yeah, see, even if he would have lost to Roman Reigns, you would have had a more epic moment than just Roman Reigns fighting against Daniel Bryan again. But they dropped the ball on that. And that's like you were saying, and like we've been saying since 2009, since we've been doing this show, you can't trust WWE, man.
Yep.
This is money. This money decision. But they dropped the ball on that. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. Now, hopefully next week we'll come back, same bat channel, same bat station, and tell you that WWE actually finally put the title on Bobby Lashley, and, you know, started an epic feud with him. Hopefully next week. But the WWE, you never know. Is there any last things you'd like to say before we head out?
Check out my show iMac. Google it. Check your local podcast listings. Come back here. Check out Sports Urban Legend every Saturdays at 11, only on Block Talk Radio.
You heard the man. Check out his show iMac, and also come back here next week. Check out Sports Urban Legend with your host William Ramo, and check out my YouTube channel. Don't be afraid. You know, check that out as well. The YouTube channel. It's called Sports and Religion TV. So he's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Ramo. And we'll see you guys next week. Peace.